Come here. How are you? Okay. So let's continue. Okay, first a couple of comments before we begin. Two horrors that were made to me yesterday, just to comment on them briefly, and then we'll get back to where we were. First of all, Ariel Diamond mentioned to me that if the point of the uniqueness of Chatas or Pesach, etc., is the fact that they are by their nature unique and not generic, and therefore they don't have a fallback generic carbon, might that also not be an explanation for Kivsi Atzeres, which we want to speak a little bit about today as well? Because Kivsi Atzeres is a Shlamim Shel Hatzibor, and that's absolutely unique as well. So I think the answer is yes, that's exactly the point I wanted to drive home, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in a couple of minutes. But just to reiterate what I said yesterday, which is I think this is a possible explanation why you would have a psul and not a, you know, kind of compromise situation of kosher of la'ol l'bayil m'shem chova. That would be one of the explanations, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Pesach Chatas are equivalent, or that Pesach Chatas, and if there is a third Kivsi Atzeres, that's equivalent. So we'll get back to this later, but I do think it's exactly what I was trying to indicate, that even if there's no intrinsic, again, one approach to saying that Pesach Chatas are different is that has to do with their particular nature, their particular character, that is much more sensitive to the requirement of Lishma, or to the psul of Lishma, as the case may be, and that's why you have this different impact in these cases than you do in the other. Or it has to do with the degree of the discrepancy between them and the carbon that you're saying that you're substituting in terms of their proper Lishma, and that was highlighted again by the other view in the Mishnah, that it goes in both directions. L'shem Chatas and L'shem Pesach is just as bad as Pesach and Chatas, L'shem something else. Or it has to do with the particular L'Hashem or the Kapara aspect, you know, per se, or the uniqueness or inflexibility of the Karbanos. But if it really does have to do with the fact that there's no other option, that in other Karbanos you have another option, it can slide back, it can hyphenate, or it can become a generic Karban, or it can be itself, you know, in a Dava type mode. I think those are three different ways, three different perspectives, but they share this same idea in common, namely there's some sort of fallback position. So then we might say it's not the uniqueness of Pesach and Chatos and maybe Kivsi Atzeres per se, in terms of the higher standing or the mechayiv of that carbon, it's just the lack of this alternative which is responsible. But I just reiterating, it doesn't have to be true about all three. It could be true for all three. It could be true about one or two and not the other. We'll get back to that. That also may be the explanation. I'll repeat it later. But the Tosis asks this question in Menachos on Mem Chesam Beis. Tosis says, if indeed Kivsi Atzeres, lack of Lishma, is possible, which is against the Gemara Mem Chesam Aleph, again, we'll go through that very quickly later on. If that's true, so why isn't it in the Mishnah? On the Mishnah Zvachim on Dab Beis Amin Aleph, why is it absent from that Mishnah? So Tosis gives various answers, we'll go through them soon. But in light of this point, I think this is a very suggestive possible approach. Namely, either it's already incorporated, you know, implicitly in some level, it's one way to explain its absence in the Mishnah, or the opposite. It's not in the Mishnah because the ones that are in the Mishnah are one kind of halacha. Maybe they have more to do with the particular nature of those karbanos, chatas, pesach, you know, for the same reason, for different reasons, whatever it is, that they're just hypersensitive when it comes to the question of the Shema, etc. Maybe the problem of Kivsi Atzeres is just a different problem. Maybe it's not so much that there's a psul or a posel as much as it is that there's no alternative, and that's just more of a, again, the consequence ends up being parallel, but since it isn't an intrinsic halacha, if it isn't, so then maybe it's just not included in the nisha. So this would be an approach. Again, I'll go through the details of the Shaka Vitari a little bit later on, but that's one thing. Yeah, the second point, Yoni asked me after the shiur yesterday, the idea of being a posel, does that apply outside of karbados? We talked about that. We'll talk about it again in a minute. And he wanted to highlight it by asking, you know, the Rishonim will have discussion of mitzvah srichos kavana It's the same Tzrichos Kavana. What is the difference between lack of Kavana or Kavana Lo Latzeis? So even if you hold Mitzvah Saint Tzrichos Kavana, but Kavana Lo Latzeis, according to some Rishonim, is worse, and that's certainly going to be Ma'akim. So is that because Kavana Lo Latzeis is a posel, and as we say, Mitzvos Ain't Tzrichos Kavana means we don't need Hechsher. But if you were to have a posel, you know, that that's a different story, and that's the difference between Kavana Ain't Kavana Latzeis or Kavana Lo Latzeis. I think it's possible, but what I was suggesting yesterday, certainly for the Grizz, is that this idea of a posel is a very unique concept, and it doesn't apply in all places. It might be enough in the world of mitzvos to say that, you know, that you just don't fulfill the mitzvah. The idea that, you know, somehow you're posel or pogein the mitzvah, and that's a negative rather than a lack of a positive, I think what Ravelbo was saying in that piece is that that's not likely. We'll see in a moment that I think Rabbi Chaim Wasserman is more open to that idea, and I have to thank Avigdor for encouraging me to reread, you know, the whole piece, so we'll discuss that in a minute. But I think Yoni's question is highlights this point. So what is the difference between Kavana Lo Latzeis and Ein Kavana Latzeis if we really think that there's no equivalent or no parallel of a pogam or a posel in the world of mitzvahs? And hashkafically also, I think this is an important question. So what I responded yesterday, and I think it's, again, directly relevant to what we're doing, is as follows. When we paskin mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, those, you know, who paskin that way, so, as we know, there are two explanations in the Rishonim and then later in the Achronim, implicit in the Rishonim and explicit in the Achronim. One is that you just don't need kavana. And that, you know, kishmo kein hu, mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. And then, to explain that, you know, negative kavana is worse, becomes more difficult. I think the approach you then have to say, you have to use, is that it's a kind of, it's a difference between, you know, ein kavana and misasek. If you have kavana for something else, or negative kavana, so, you know, it's not just the kavana issue, it becomes a maisa issue, you know, it turns into a kind of misasek, it's not tsuruf to you, you know, something of that sort. I think that's one model. The second way to explain it is that when we say mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, what we really mean is a kind of stama kavana. Maybe not, you know, Rav Velvel's more extreme one, but at least Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's and the Rav's stama, which we'll get to in just a moment, which we talked about yesterday a little bit. That is the idea that there's a certain kind of natural momentum, something is miyuchad or omeid, you know, for this kind of kavana. When you're doing a tkiya shofar, so the context itself, the maisa itself, pulls in the kavana. You know, it's the default is that it has a certain momentum and a certain yiud, l'shem mitzvah. Certainly that's how the Netziv explains the view that mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. So then the point is that kavana lo latzeis, you know, is mafkia that. It's mafkia that kind of stama of kavana. And it isn't that it's posel or pogam, it's not a negative kavana per se, but you need a negative kavana as opposed to a lack of kavana to break that kind of stop. But I think that highlights to a large extent the issues that we're talking about. Okay, getting back to the main issue. So we basically were suggesting that there are three perspectives in the sugya. One is that there are two dinim in Lishma. There are two mishnayos, two dinim. One mishnah is about the requirement of Lishma. The other is about the pagam or psul of Lishma. That's Ravelvel's approach. The sugya, even without Ravelvel, just the two mishnayos are suggestive of that. The two contexts in the Rambam are suggestive of that. I need a Rambam if anyone has one. Again, Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, Perek Dalet and Perek Gimel through Tezvav at least, of Psulei Hamukdashim. And just to highlight that just for a second, a little bit further, Perek Dalet, Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, Halacha Yud and Yud Aleph, you know, is not written in a vacuum. Obviously, Halacha Yud and Yud Aleph, the last two halachos in the Perek. What is the Perek about? The Perek is about two things. Number one, it's about the requirements of Bayom in Kodshim. Kol HaKarbonos Makrivin Osan Ela Bayom. Shenemar Bayom Tzavoso Is B'nei Yisrael Akim Is Karbonim. And there's a whole, that's a whole topic, obviously. Which avodos require yom, and what about Lila? You know, hakravas haimurim, things of that sort. You know, dishun hamizbeach. You know, the concept of yom and Lila. But clearly that's a kiyum, that's a hechsher requirement. It's not that Lila, again, we'll have to just, I don't know if we'll get to it, but you know, Lila's posel, but certainly the din of yom is a hechsher requirement. That's a good chunk of Perek Dalet Hilchos Ma'aseh Karbanos, and then the Rambam talks about the different things, and then comes Halacha Zayin, which again for all of our Chulin people is hopefully a memorable, pleasant memory as well. Halacha Kol Hazvachim Ein Shochtinos on the Chatchila, strange Halacha Ela Besakin Miklishares. Right, so we at the time talked about all these diukim. You know, what's the lechatchila, the klishares? What do you mean lechatchila klishares? Why does he mention davar shochtim ba'achulin? That's not our topic now. But the point is that the other halacha, you have yom, and the lechatchila requirement of a sakin shel shchita. Now again, that's obviously a din in hechsher or kiyum, rather than anything having to do with a pagam or a psul. Kol hazvachim shekibal midamam pachas michtei hazaya or miskadish adam. It's also a adequacy of the hechsher process, talking about the kli. And then that transitions into the end of the parak, which is kol hazvachim tzorech ovid shetiyah machshavta l'shem hazevach, and halacha yud alef tzorech shiyah machshavta v'shas shchita l'shem shisha dvar. So the whole parak, it's not just the fact that it's in Ma'aseh Karbanos, which already gives it a more positive requirement type of character, but everything surrounding it, of course, is attests to the fact that it has this perspective. And then Halacha Perek Hey, of course, is the din shchitas kachim ksheir bizarim mekabelas adam eilech mitzvas kahuna. Again, the requirement of kohen, which is also an adequacy requirement issue. That's Perek Hey. On the other hand, Perek Yud Gimel, Hilchos Psulei HaMikdashim, number one, Psulei HaMikdashim, Tishmo Keinu. And of course, Perek Yud Gimel is all about the integration of Pigol and Lishma. And then, of course, we get back to the details of Lishma in Perek Tezvav, and then we get back to some broader issues of Pigol in the Prakim after that. So it's all interspersed in the context of Pigol. So that certainly highlights, in addition to the two Mishnayos and their different Nuschaos, and what's in one Suga and the other Suga, etc., highlights that maybe there are really two different elements in when it comes to the matter of Karbanos. So that's one perspective. I'm going to get back to that in just a second. The second perspective is that all there is a posel, and there's nothing more. And we talked about that. Even the dinim that appear to be part of the hechsher of dini hakrava or avoda are just misleading. It's not a requirement of lishma. It's always a psul of lo lishma. And the third perspective is that this is like lishma as we seem to encounter it everywhere else. It's only about the requirement of achsherim, things that look like psulim or poslim, are just a function of how easy it is, let's say, to turn a situation when you don't have conditions for a hechsher, hakrava v'avoda. So mimela, you have psul, but it isn't a davra posel. It's the consequence of not achieving or not, you know, living up to these ideal and ambitious requirements. So these three perspectives, I tried to show what I was trying to show is, number one, that you might be mechalik between different avodos and different karbanos. Particularly, you might be mechalik between where lishma is legamri ma'akev, as opposed to situations where it's kosher elishal olavaylam l'shem chova. That could be all sorts of chilukim. Maybe even within the olavaylam l'shem chova zar chilukim. Maybe even within the ikuvim zar chilukim. And not just because you might be able to say it, but try to show, at least in some cases, that there are shitos that seem to go in this direction. But so that's really kind of make, I think, the picture a little bit more complicated and a little more accurate. I mean, complicated for the sake of accuracy, not complication for its own sake, hopefully. But at least these are the three perspectives that we're working with. So just to go back for a second, I looked at the COVID shiurim last night again. So it's my recitation of Rav Chaim was correct, and Rav Chanan of Osterman constitutes the opposite perspective. The three perspectives that we've been pursuing, everything is about Hechsher, everything is about Psul, or there are two Dinim, end up actually being parallel. Not all details are Mukhrach. Rav Chaim, Rav Elbel, and Rav Chanan Wasserman in the Sugyas. I just want to speak about that for a couple of minutes. As I mentioned yesterday, Rav Chanan Wasserman quotes Rav Chaim as being unhappy with the equation that Tosis makes in Menachos on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Tosis there says that if you're talking about Lishma in the context of Tzitzis, so let's say you have Lishmo v'shalo Lishma at the same time. Right, you have both. So Tosis' idea is that just like when it comes to Menachos and Zvachim, if you have Lishma and Shalom Lishma, Vivasachas, right, it doesn't work. It's a chisaron of Lishma. So too in Tzitzis, if you have Lishem Tzitzis of Lishem something else, then you'll be lacking in Lishma. That's the equation that Tosis and Menachos makes. Tosis basically is equating Tzitzis and Kodshim. And it's that which Rav Chaim voice some opposition by arguing the following. That is that in Karbanos, there is no din of Hechsher. There's only a din of Psul. And in Tzitzis, there's only a din of Hechsher, and there's no din of Psul. In other words, these are opposites. Now, in theory, to object to Tosis's equation, you don't have to go as far as the way he, at least, quotes Rav Chaim. All you really need to say is that in Karbanos, there is also a din of Psul or Posel in addition to lack of Hechsher. Again, the point being that, let's say you have both Lishma and Shalom Lishma Biacha. So Rav Chaim's Ha'ara, as it's quoted, is based on the premise that if you're talking about a requirement of Hechsher, so then having a Stira of Lishma and Shalom Lishma doesn't take away from the fact that you have the means for Hechsher. But if there's a din of psul or posel, right, so the fact that there is, in other words, if you need hechsher, so the presence of lishma is sufficient, even if it's joined by lo lishma. If you need a posel, if you're worried about a posel, then the presence of lo lishma is going to undermine you, even if you also have lishma. That's the assumption. That's a big assumption. We'll see in a moment that it's a disputable assumption. But that's the idea. So the point is that just because in the world of Kodshim, when you have both Lishma and Shalom Lishma, it's no good, that doesn't prove that the same is true in the world of Tzitzis, because Tzitzis is about Hechsher, and therefore the presence of Lishma is sufficient. Kodshim is about Psul, the presence of Lo Lishma is Koveh. That's Reb Chaim's argument. From that alone, one doesn't have to conclude that in Kodshim, there's no din of Hechsher. You only have to conclude that in Kodshim there's also a din of Pagam and of Psul. But the way Rav Chanan Wasserman quotes him, and part of the continuing discussion as well, is that it's mutually exclusive. Where he has it, in Kodshim there's only a din of Psul. There's no din of Hechsher at all. Okay. If this is true, so how would you explain Stama, according to Rav Chaim? This Rav Chanan Wasserman doesn't address. Again, this is part of a bigger issue, which we may have time to discuss, or maybe not, I'm not sure. How would you explain Stama? So if you held that there were two dinim, right, so you could always still explain Stama in the context of Hechsher. Now, even if you have a demand of Lishma, right, there's still Stama Lishma. Right? And you don't need to go as far as Rav Elbel's Stama Lishma. You could say the Stama Lishma, like I was explaining the Netziv's, Davar Sheinu Miskaven, or Mitzvah Sein Tzrichos Kavana, to be more precise, just a couple of minutes ago. Maybe there's a certain natural momentum. The Stam is, that there's lishma until you upset or you're misalek or you mafkia the lishma. But if you hold that in karbanos there's no din of hechsher or requirement of lishma at all, there's only one halacha, and that halacha is the posel, the pogein, right? So then how would you explain stama lishma? You have to explain it in a different way. You'd have to say that stama lishma means exactly that. What if you have neither hechsher nor posel? So if you need hechsher, maybe stama is means stama here doesn't mean momentum. Stama doesn't mean it's implicit. Stama means it's nothing, right? The stam explanation of stama, right? That we would have had if we weren't, you know, trying to fit it into other evidence. Stama lishma means it's neither this nor that. If you need it, you don't have it. If it's a problem, you also don't have it. Shalom al Yisra. So that would be the way that Reb Chaim, if assuming this is the full picture, or at least at that time when Reb Chanan Wasserman heard him, that would be how he explained stama. In which case, stama would only work in areas of halacha that where there's only the din of psul. So then you'd have to try to figure out, like, what about mila, what about tzitzis, what about these other things? Is there a din of stama lishma or not? And again, in terms of the Gemara about Gittin, maybe that's exactly the Gemara's answer. Right? The Gemara says, when it comes to Gittin, you require lishma, because isha is not omedes. It's not just that, you know, a pagam of shalo lishma is the problem, and therefore there's no stama lishma in Gittin. It's not a special din in Gittin. It's the only time you ever really have stama lishma is when you're dealing with a posel, never when you're dealing with a hasha. The question is that sustainable across shas and other sugyas? Again, that whole discussion in Tosas and Menachos is about other things like mila and tzitzis and so on. Okay. On the other hand, what you also gain from Reb Chaim, and he reports this as well, and this is consistent with Reb Elbel's analysis on his own, and that is, you gain things like Akira Betos, right? The Gemara has a discussion in Menachos on Mem Tesem and Aleph, whether or not, if you're Oker Lishma, but Betos, is that Akira Betos, Shema Akira, or not? Right? The Gemara discusses it in Menachos, the Gemara discusses it in Psachim, in Tamid Nishchat. It's a big discussion. So the analysis would be, that, like I just suggested for Stama, that Akira Betos is a problem. Akira Betos, Lo Shema Akira, if you need a posel. But if you need a Hechsher Lishma, then Akira Betos, Shema Akira. Because it's true that your Akira doesn't gain the status of quotation marks. It doesn't achieve a formal legal presence. Right? But the fact is that it's also not the equivalent of positive lishma. So this would be Reb Chaim's explanation. And of course, any connection to lo yichashev and pigol would work out very nicely as well. So that's one perspective, and that's the perspective that Reb Chanan Wasserman just, you know, fleshes out a little bit for Reb Chaim. The second, the opposite perspective is the perspective of Reb Chanan Wasserman himself. He disagrees. But his argument is pumfakeret, as we would say, right? And that is, even in Kadshim, all there is the din of Hechsher. There's no din whatsoever of Posel. And therefore the comparison to Tzitzis is fine. Maybe there's never a din of Posel, Ayidei Lo Lishma. There's something to that as well. Ah, but for him then the question becomes, this is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about a little more, how do you explain lishma v'lo lishma? Right, the whole discussion of Tosfos Menachos is that you see from Kadshim that lishma v'shelo lishma is no good, and you can export that to, or you can apply it to tzitzis. I'm saying no, because the reason lishma v'lo lishma is no good is because of the posel. But when you're dealing with hechsher, you have the lishma to emphasize the half, you know, full glass, not the half empty glass. So this is what Reb Chanan Wasserman says is very important, is that even if you have a din of Hechsher, it's quite possible that the coexistence of Lishma and Shalom Lishma together breaks the Hechsher. The Stira, right, it's not that you have one, you know, you have A, you know, and you also have B, but all you need is A. This particular B, right, is not unrelated to A. So what you really have is A and minus A, right? A and negative A, matter and antimatter. So what Rav Chaim Wasserman is saying is, what Rav Chaim was saying was, if all you need is Hechsher, so these are two different things, and as long as you have your A, we don't care, we look at the other as B, or we don't care if you also have, you know, negative A. And what Rav Chaim Wasserman is saying is, A and negative A, you know, draw a circle around them, is nothing. It's a lack of Hechsher. So that becomes an interesting machlokas on the Hechsher level, right, when things are mafriya. You can be mafkiya, the Hechsher, even if there's a din of stam alishma. Ah, but then what about the other way to look at it? Namely, how do you explain stam alishma according to this perspective? Again, you can no longer say that stama means you have neither, and that's fine because there's no posel, and that's all you care about. So here you have to take the view that stama means hechsher, you do have hechsher. And that, of course, can be for one of two reasons, right? It could, or one of three reasons. It could be, it's an umdana, right? Minastam, you know, you're thinking lishma, even if you haven't said it, or it's in the back of your mind, even if you don't consciously know that it's in the front of your mind. That's one way to explain stama lishma. The other extreme is Ravelbel, who says stama lishma is a misnomer. Stama lishma really means there's no requirement of lishma at all, or there's a requirement of lishma, but it's a built-in lishma based on the structure, and it has nothing whatsoever. It's untouchable, or largely untouchable. In between those is the view of Rav Chaim Wasserman, which I think has a lot of evidence in the Rishonim, and that's how the Rav used to explain stama lishma as well, which is it's not an umdina, but it's not unbreakable either. Again, it's like I explained that it's Sivs Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, there's a certain natural momentum to and association of, you know, the performance of a mitzvah. In that case, the hakdasha, the hafrasha, the hakdasha, the hakrava, the karban. Again, it's also an important idea, hashkafically and halachically, right? It brings with it a certain lishma, and it's tough to break it. You don't have to say it's not breakable. You can say it's tough to break it. Now, that's an important perspective, which again, Reb Chaim perhaps didn't, or at least in this context, didn't agree to. But once that's true, right, that you have this middle view of stama lishma, you know, something which has a certain, again, perspective and momentum, but is breakable, so then you have a whole different question, right? What do you have to do to break it? What level of siluk or hafka do you need? And that's the opening, although he doesn't say it this way, but he's just answering questions, that's the opening to answer some of the questions that Reb Chaim or slash Ravelbel would have asked to prove that there's a din of posel. Like, what's the strongest evidence that there's a din of posel and not just a lack of hechsher? Number one, akira betos. I said a second ago that akira betos lo shma akira, but if you need hechsher, then there's no hechsher. But if there's din of stama, and stama doesn't just mean umdana, stama means not unbreakable, but there is a certain momentum association that goes with the action, right, that brings with it the presence of a certain level of lishma, so you have to be mafkia that. To be mafkia that, you have to do it b'kavana. You can't do that all your day toes. It's a formal act of breaking the lishma, the implicit lishma. So that's number one. Akir b'toes doesn't prove posel. Akir b'toes can live within the worldview of stama if you have a certain ambitious stama. And that would also, of course, answer the question, one of other Ravelbel's rayas, and that is, of course, the problem of chulin. Right? One of the biggest rayas that there has to be a din of posel, not just a lack of hechsher, is l'shem chulin. Right? After all, l'shem chulin is, you know, b'mino makriv shelo b'mino lo makriv. You know, kadshim mechalim zakadshim ein chulin mechalin zakadshim. All that is very well and good, says Ravelbel, but if you need lishma, well, l'shem chulin is not lishma, it's not l'shem kadshim, right? But for the same reason that we might explain that akir betos, lo shma akira, even on the hechsher level, right, we might explain, that's what I meant yesterday when I said that l'shem chulin, shalom b'mino, lo makriv is not on the radar screen, meaning you can't be mafkia the stama with an absurd kind of focus on something that is completely irrelevant. And chulin is irrelevant. Kadshim b'chalim is a kadshim. Here would mean kadshim or a rival kadshim, a competitive kadshim, has the ability to derail stama lishma. But something, you know, silly, you know, that you boda milibcha, something that's just not shayach at all, is off the charts and doesn't have that effect. By the same token, he says explicitly that let's say you had kavana, let's say you brought a korban chatas. I would say leave the chatas out of it, I guess. Let's say you brought a korban ola, and you explicitly had kavana lo l'shem ola, not l'chulin, and not l'shlamim. You brought a korban and you said lo l'shem ola, or you brought a shlamim lo l'shem shlam. And you said it loud, you said it clear, you know, said it in front of 10 people, lo l'shem ola, lo l'shem shlam. So is that the equivalent of l'shem something else? So there's no Gemara about that, we just don't know. Now the truth is, if the idea behind the psul, or the lack of hechsher, or the problem, let's say, of l'shma, or lo l'shma, is the fact that it actually ends up turning into b'miktzas, the karban, you know, which you're associating it with, which is a view in the Rishonim too, then we can understand very well why there should be a chiluk between l'shem something else, which is menatek, you know, the shame mimenu, and lo l'shem it. And that would be one explanation. But Rabbi Chanan of Asserman's explanation is, well, to break the stama, even though it's accessible and breakable, right? But to break it, you have to do it in a significant way. The negative campaigning doesn't break the stama. I don't know if that's mukhla, but I understand it. You can only break it by giving an alternative lishma, not by being a negative campaigner. So these would be three. On the other hand, he doesn't think that when you have lishma and lo lishma together, that doesn't break the stama in terms of hechsher. That's the exception. So it ends up, it's a very fascinating argument, right, between the achronim, between these different perspectives, on how you look at both stama, akir b'tos, lo lishma, l'shem chulin, and lishma v'lo lishma together, right, in terms of how you look at those various cases. Of course, according to his perspective, we're also assuming that just the lack of hechsher in the case of Chatos and Pesach is going to be enough to create the result of psul, as we've explained. According to Rabbi Chanan of Asserman, there's no reason to conclude, since he doesn't have Ravelvel's extreme stama, there's no reason to conclude that the Vav Dvarim are ma'akvin, because there is access to them, and me'olam lamatzino that they're ma'akvin. Some of the other conclusions that Ravelvel reaches because of his perspective are not implied by Rabbi Chanan of Asserman's approach. For example, again, the idea of kosher v'la'ol l'shem chova, right, is not incompatible to removing the hechsher of l'shma for Rabbi Chanan of Asserman. It is for Ravelvel. For the Griz, if you don't have lishma or sama lishma, then you have a pagam and a psul, not a posel, but a pagam and psul. You don't have the basis for hechsher, even when it comes to bav dvarim, and even in a situation which otherwise would be kosher v'la ola l'shem chol. He readily admits that his approach is incompatible with quoting lo yichashev. He says explicitly, I like Rashi and Menachos, I don't like Rashi and Zvachim. Okay? The same way that Ravelvel says, I like Rashi and Zvachim, you know, give me more of, you know, Rashi and Zvachim, and we can understand it. So that's Rabbi Chanan of Asserman, and I'd say it's a whole approach, if you look at it that way. The only thing I think is worth noting in the other direction, to two other points very quickly, he's trying some bidayik from the Sugyan Zvachin and Zayin Amidav to prove his point. I think that's an interesting question too. The Gemara continuation after Memvav Mabes says as follows. Gemara says, Omer Abaya, yeah. Mishnah says, "Ena machshava halechas ala achar ove." So the Gemara says, "Masisa de lo ki aitana, Tanya Amar Belazar, Rabbi Yosi Shemati Shabaylim Mifaglin." Gemara points out, in other words, the pashas of the Mishnah that we only care about the oved, let's say the kohen, right, or it could be Yisrael and the Shechita, but we don't care about the Bailim's machshava. And the Gemara says that seems to be against the perspective that even Bailim are Mifaglin. And the Gemara tries to prove it from the cases that it quotes. So Rav Chana of Asim in his Medayik from that Gemara, he points out that it seems from that Gemara that according to the Mandama that the Bailim are Mifaglim, if the Bailim had a Kavana Lishma, right, and the Oved had a, the Makriv had a Kavana Shalo Lishma, this is what he's trying to prove, that it would be kosher. I mean, that's the whole diuk, right? The diuk is, we're worried about the oved, and therefore we prefer that it be stama, because if the oved has a machshava of psul, so it will undermine the karban. But lu yitzuyar, we care not about the oved, but about the bailim, right? So if the, not explicit, but this is what he's suggesting, Gemara implies, if the bailim had a kavana lishma, and the oved at a kavana shalom lishma, you'd be fine. Ah, Rav Chana of Asim says, in my opinion, that proves my view. It proves my view that even in kodshim, we're talking about lishma as a hechsher. Because if we were talking about lishma, shalom lishma, as a posel, then even if the bailim are lishma, the oved being lo lishma would be able to inject the psul that you have. So basically what he's assuming is, this is just parallel to what we talked about before in a way, it's a little bit, just a little bit ironic in a way. He's taking the position that even if the bailim are mifaglim, that basically the bailim and the ovdim are on equal basis, let's say. And then the question is, what if you have lishma and shalom lishma together? If you have lishma and you have shalom lishma, so if you need lishma, you have it. If lo lishma is posel, then you have the posel. That's his analysis. But of course, what's ironic about it, ironic, let's say, what's interesting about it is that in light of his own analysis of the original case, which was, let's say you have lishma and shalom lishma together, so Rav Chaim was saying, if you have lishma and lo lishma together, the hechsher lishma you have, right? Lo lishma is only going to be a problem if there's a din posel, and we don't have that by tzitzis, right? And then Rav Chana of Asim himself says, no, not really. That could be a problem in hechsher too. As I said before, it's not A and B, or it's not just, you know, A and minus A. You know, it's A and minus A that contradict each other. So even on the hechsher level, there's going to be a problem. So, if that's true, that might be true. When you have two different sources as well, let's say you have the bailim and you have the oved. So, is it correct to say that if the bailim have kavana lishma and the oved has kavana shalom lishma, that's sufficient for hechsher? Again, you might be mechalik. You might say the same person has A and minus A. So he has nothing. That breaks up his stump, if you will. But if it's two different people, and they're two different sources, so then we look at it as A and B. We don't look at it as A and minus A, or A and A minus. That's exactly the chiluk. Now he doesn't say this at all. He doesn't talk about any of this. It just brings this raya. I'm just saying, bringing this raya in light of the whole piece implies that he's making that chiluk, but that's a pretty subtle Chiluk, it's certainly one which is open to criticism. That's point number one. Point number two is the other assumption, which is that if you have, if you hold Bailim Mefaglim, so from the Posel point of view, even if the Bailim are Mefaglim, the Oved would be Mefagel as well. I mean, isn't it possible to say that if the Bailim, right, have Kavanah Lishma, and the Oved has a Kavanah Shalom Lishma, right, that maybe you don't look at the both of these as coexisting. You say there's a Sphira, and the Bailim have, if you hold Bailim with Faglim, maybe the Bailim have the Skos Kedim. That's for the same reason we made the Chiluk before, that ironically, again, that Lishma and Shalom Lishma by the same person might be different than, you know, two competing, albeit relevant parties, one with a Lishma and the other with a Lishma. From the perspective of Hafshah, you might then make that distinction on the level of Psul as well. Right? And put it the other direction. You might say that when there's a Stira, so it's one or the other, and then you have to figure out who's the Ikar Bailim. So I don't know if that's such a good riot, but I do think it's important because it highlights again some of these issues. At the same time, he's Modeh, he says, I have a riot for Rab Chaim. And the riot for Rab Chaim is from the Sugyan Gittin, and from the application to Gittin. So his raya for Rav Chaim from Gittin assumes that the notion of a posel, in theory, could apply to a get as well. Now, even if you don't need lishma for hechsher get, that you could be posel a get, shalom lishma. Let's read it to you just very quickly. This is the last piece. Amnam dira raya gam perusho. Shomori v'Rabbi, Rav Chaim, Eres Vachin, the Rav Rami get a kodshim, Shami stami shalav gerushin kaima, Avli hava mina stami shalav gerushin kaima, Kasha stama beget, the Kasha, the beget bein on shnei dvarim, l'shem gerushin, v'l'shem ha'isha hazos, v'imkein hod stami shalav gerushin kaima lo mahani al inyan machshavas, l'shem gerushin, v'lech yol stama l'inyan machshavas l'shem isha hazos. Here's where he says clearly that the Rav Chaim's view of Stama Lishma is that, you know, there's no requirement of Lishma, that there is Lishma, but there's no requirement of Lishma. Lishma is only a posel, and Stama is not a posel. Ain't a kavanah shetei l'shem chatas alafuki shel yachshav shelo lishma. Hachanami beget. So again, I thought that was pretty wild. Again, Rav Velvel says explicitly in his piece that this idea of lo lishma as a davra posel is unique to kadshim, and it wouldn't apply to gittin. So again, but the Gemara is comparing between gittin and kadshim. So what I wanted to say for the Grizz at least is, yeah, that's the Gemara's answer. When the Gemara says in the end that you know, Stama doesn't apply to that, that's all part of the point is that in everything we're saying in Gittin is irrelevant to the kind of Lishma that is applicable to Karbat. So I think it's very interesting, and again, in light of Yoni's question to me about mitzvos, is it possible to have a posel in the world of mitzvos? Not impossible. It would be a third explanation of why kavan, negative kavan is worse, beyond the two that I gave. But you should be aware that in his reading of Rav Chaim, he thinks that it would be possible in Gittin. Okay. Anyways, these are the two perspectives. The third perspective, of course, is the Grizz himself, which we spoke mostly about yesterday. I just want to speak about it for another minute. And that is that there are two dinim. But as I mentioned, the Grizz has a couple of additional chidushim. One is Mechadesh, this other perspective, we call it the fourth perspective so far on Stama. Stama as an Umdana, Stama as an Omeid or a Miyuad, and so on. Stama as the idea that, you know, where you need Hechsher, you don't have it, where you need Psul, you don't have it either. And then, of course, Rav Velvel's idea of Stama, which is one of the extremes, and that is the structure of the process itself It's a bit of a misnomer to say that you need lishma, but you have it. That's another way of saying is that this lishma has nothing to do with you at all. The structure has it by itself. It's even inaccessible. So that's one of his chidushim. Again, the raya from Akira Batos, from Chulin, we discussed all of that, how Rabbi Chanan Basum disagrees with that. We also discussed the fact that Paraduma, shiny, there you do have access. And that's why in Paraduma there are two nafkamina. One is that L'shem Reach would be ma'akev if it applied. The other is, as I was mentioning the other day, that it seems that in Paraduma L'shem Chulin is posel. Even though normally we say that L'shem Chulin is not ma'akev, right? But it seems like in Paraduma that it is. Rav Elv was going to explain that since there's no din of stama, so the heksher requirement of lishma, right, will demand that will dictate rather that l'shem chulin doesn't work. That's a shitasa. But it's interesting. He in that is expanding his. You know, he quotes Reb Chaim to establish the idea that in Paraduma there is a hafrasha and a hakdasha b'torah svedek abayis. And then the hakravas hakarban is b'toras chatas. That's the part from Reb Chaim, and that explains part of it. Then he says, I want to go further and explain that there's no stam l'shma here, and that's the impact on reach and on chulin. So it's just interesting. Reb Chaim didn't say that part. If Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's citation of Reb Chaim is accurate, he wouldn't agree with that part, because he had a different view of stama, at least in that rendition. He had a different view of stama, and he had the view that there is no din of heksher lishma at all. So the shita so that just wouldn't work. Belvel's expansion into two dinim, and especially with his added kiddush about the normal stama and the idea that the vav dvarim are all ma'akev in theory, and that there's no such thing as la'ol labaylam l'shem chova, kosher la'ol labaylam l'shem chova on the heksher level. It's a heksher problem. It's pasul lagamri everywhere and anywhere. All of that makes possible this explanation of Paradu. The problem with Rav Elbel is severalfold. Number one, it's a very extreme view of Stam Lishma. It's hard to believe that that's what the word Stam Lishma mean. The Gzeira of the Mishnah, I think, is almost incomprehensible. At least I don't know how to get out of that. I mean, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that there are Metakein, you know, that it's better that the Oved shouldn't have any Kavanas at all, but he should just have Stamah? What were they worried about? According to Rav Elbel, there's no way to lose, right? Unless they were worried about Kavana Lo Lishma, which is possible, but according to, then you lose a little bit of the charm of the whole two sugyas. The whole point is that the sugya Mem Vav is about the requirement of Lishma, right? And it's not at all about the Psul of Shalom Lishma. That's a sugya not based on an Aleph. So if you want to keep to that, you know, if you want to keep those two things together, it's hard to understand what they were worried about. Right. Unless, no, just on a practical level, they're worried that Daf Beis would ruin Daf Mem Vav. Maybe. The other thing is that it sounds, at least, from that Gemara and from some others, that Stam Lishma works, but that there's a Lechatchila of Lishma. Right? So it sounds that way from the Gzeira too, meaning there is some benefit to Lishma, there is some value to it. The only thing is that maybe the risk isn't worth the reward, right? Because once you require Lishma, maybe you'll undermine. So according to Rav Elbel's understanding of Stam Lishma, what's the benefit in Lishma? It's all part of the structure. It's just a definition, essentially, that the Hafrasha and the Hakdasha creates the heksher, right? There's no real. If you say stam lishma is an umdana, you know, then of course there's a lechatchila. And if you say stam lishma means that it's omedu miyuad, you know, lilishma, so we can understand that, you know, that's great, that's really wonderful. However, you know, if you can, you know, be active, you know, bekum vaaseh, that would even be better. There's a kiyum in voicing lishma. Again, risk reward. You know, you have to be careful. But according to Rav Elbel's reading of Stam Lishma, it's really kind of a misnomer. And it's hard to understand where the lechatchila is. according to his understanding, you would never be able to discuss even what the Mefarshim discuss in the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Chasmaisa Karbonos. We left from it yesterday. Right? The Rambam here, right, has a strange formulation. The Tzorch Shetia I'm sorry, Halacha Yud. Vim Shachat V'Avad Sharavodo Stam V'Lachosh of Klal V'Ola B'Shlamim Harein K'sherim V'Ola L'Bailim. Again, it sounds like a B'Diavad number one, but more than that, why is he singling out Ola and Shlamim? So the Radvaz is of the opinion, and this is just important for Stam Alishma anyway, right? The Radvaz is this tremendous Kiddush, that Chatas and Asham the stama are ksherim, but lo'ala lebailim l'shem chova. And what the Rama means here is, when it comes to ola and shlamim, it's fine, it's ksherim v'ola lebailim. Ma she'en kein, chatas, and asham. Now, anyways, that's a chiddush, because miman of shak, he's not saying that they're psulim, the Radvaz. So, number one, I mean, there are two problems. Number one, he's mechadish a case where, at least for chatos, where you have the in-between status. Right? You have kosher, v'lola b'alim l'shem chov. Yeah. So, that's not so terrible, because the Rambam, as we'll discuss later on, in Psulei Mekdashim, has that for l'shem chulin. Although, there might be a different explanation why that would apply to L'shem Chulin. It's not as obvious that it would apply to Stam L'shma. Not only that, the Rambam has it in two other cases as well. In the continuation in Perek Tezvav, Psulim Tashim, what is when he does it L'shem Kaparas, Mishachayev Ola, right? Mishenochayev Kemoso, say Chatos. He's Chayev Chatos, he's L'shem Kaparas, Mishachayev Ola. And L'shem Misha Mace, even if that Mace was Chayiv Chatos. So the Rambam actually has three cases in Chatos of Lo'al L'Bayim L'Shem Chova, even though it's kosher. That's something. That's one issue. Of course, the bigger issue is just what is the Pshara here? Meaning, either Stam L'Shma is L'Shma, right? Or it's not L'Shma. Right? What does it mean when we say that, you know, it's kosher, especially if it's Tamil Chatos and Osham? But it's lo'ol l'bailim l'shem chova. Right, so this is the first time we've encountered that not only stam l'shma not l'chatchila, but that the quality of l'shma and stam l'shma is inferior. Now again, if you want to say something like, if you say stam l'shma zum, then it doesn't make any sense. If you say stam l'shma like Rebelvel, it doesn't make any sense for the opposite reason. Namely, you don't have access one way or another. It just means you really have l'shma whether you like it or not. If you take the view that there's a l'shma that is implicit in your action, but you can be mafkia it, right? So then we understand there still might be a value to positive input l'shma, right? More personal kind of l'shma, as opposed to structural l'shma. And maybe there's not only value to that, but maybe these differences reflect the quality of l'shma, and they affect chova, the degree of kapara, the need for another karban, etc. If you want to say, you know, there's stam l'shma is deficient on the heksher level, but it's, you know, good on the negation of the posel, maybe that's another way to look at it. There are various ways to say it. But according to Rebelvel, this is just absolutely, absolutely impossible. Similarly, according to the Lecha Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah also has a suggested reading of this Rambam, the opposite, right? And that is that when it comes to the Chiddush is that we might have thought that's not that like the Radvaz that Chatas and Asham are La'ol L'Bayil and Shem Chova, but we would have thought that maybe when it comes to Ola and Shlamim, right, the Stam L'Shma would not work. The Hava Minim was that when it comes to Ola and Shlamim, Stam Lishma is no good. And the Kamashmalan is not only Chatas and Asham, but even Shlamim and Ola. That's the Lecha Mishnah's reading in the Rambam. Again, for our purposes, the analysis is the same. That's basically what's important about the argument is, you know, why would you think that, you know, Chatas is more vulnerable? Why would you think that, again, at least in the Radvaz, you know, there's a certain consistency. Well, in the whole sugya, at least Chatas is more vulnerable, you know, has higher standards of Lishma than the others. And that affects even Stam Lishma. The Chiddush is, where does Asham come into play? Right? Number one, the Chiddush is that it's to such an extent. And number two, that here Asham is actually paired with Chatas, even though it doesn't get on board in the Mishnah, right, just except for Rabbi Eliezer, despite the fact that it's common in terms of Ein Bo Nedava, that it has a kapara, that it's kachatas ka'asham. But with regard to the stama application, there's resonance to all that discussion in the Gemara. But at least what we're saying is that for whatever reason, that chatas and asham have a more demanding lishma than ola and shlamim. The idea that ola and shlamim would have a more demanding lishma, or that stama lishma would be a greater problem for them than it would be for chatas and asham, from a karbanos point of view, I say everything we're doing is all happening, you know, on many different levels, right? We're building up databases for the karbanos, for the avodos. So this is something to consider. But in terms of the analysis of what is the nature of stama lishma, you know, is it one of these four possibilities or more? As far as that's concerned, the analysis is exactly the same. The fact that we would say that stama lishma is a different level of lishma and that it has impact, here we're not saying it lemaisa, and here we're not saying it, you know, to the detriment of chatas and asham. Okay, so it's nahava mina, you know, we thought that it's about ola and shlamim, but the analysis is the same. According to Velbel, it just doesn't make sense. According to the Umdana way, it doesn't make sense. It only makes sense if you take the view that stama lishma is a, you know, is a lower level of lishma, and that it has real impact in addition. Okay. The other thing to point out is that according to Abelville, there are several nafkamina between the two perspectives, which we should just mention very quickly. The most important one, and again, I think it's challengeable, but this is one that's a very appealing one. This one's compelling, but challengeable, is that if the problem of Lishma is to be looked at from the perspective of Hechsher, he argues, so then it could be a problem simply in the Avoda, and in the particular Maisa Avoda. It might be restricted to the particular Maisa Avoda as well. Whereas if it's a problem that it's a posel, so that is something that affects not only the specific Avoda, or even the Avoda, but the whole Korban. I don't think that either of those is, I say, absolutely undisputable, or indisputable, but I do think that they are, that's a reasonable suggestion. That's his, basically what he's saying is, let's say you did a Kabbalah Saddam, Shalom Lishma, and there's more blood left in the Tzavar HaBehem. Right? So you could go back and you could do another Kabbalah Saddam. Right? So, or you had two Kosos in your Kabbalah Saddam, and one Holacha was done Shalom Lishma. Right? So if the problem is one of lack of Hechsher, so then in theory, you could go back and you could rectify, you know, the situation. But if you think that it's a posel, even though it takes place in a single avoda, and you can redo that avoda, that would be a posel, and that would not only ruin that particular avoda, but you'd feel the reverberations of that maisa posel throughout the entire karba. So that's an important chilek, that the grid, again, not something you can't dispute, but certainly certainly something which makes an important, which makes a lot of sense, and the Nafka Mina definitely rings true. The second ha'ara that he makes is that Tosfot Beis Amud Aleph asks the question, why is it that we seem to need two different limudim, you know, one in the sugya, you know, Reish Zvachin, and the other one in the Mbamban Beis? And Tosfot's answer is Haktara Seimurin. Right, to be Marba, Haktara Seimurin, Tosfos Shitaso, that the Membav includes Haktara Seimurin as a Lichatchila. But as we know, the Rambam know, for the Rambam that doesn't work. The Rambam doesn't believe in Akhtaras Sigurim. But, as he points out, for the Rambam, it's probably no problem at all. Two psukim, two dinim. One din of Hechsher, one din of Posa. And similarly, I think I mentioned this yesterday, but looking over again, he also makes a Sahara. And that is, does the principle of requiring Shana Kasuv La'akev, does that apply here or not? So when it comes to matters of Hechsher, yes, because you might say, oh, that's a Salukat Chila. That's the better way to do Kachin. And by the way, that's itself, again, Hashkafically, Halakhically, important principle, that the idea of Shana Kasuv La'akev is like a rule, with many exceptions, but a rule in Kachin. That, meaning there's a certain like inbred idea in Kachim that there's a like more idealistic way to do things, that there are two ways to accomplish things, and that there's a mitzvaso or a lechatchila, you know, which goes beyond the regular notion of lechatchila in other tchumim, or at least that it's ubiquitous in Kachim, and that to be memayit something in Kachim, you need two miyutim, because you always assume the first one just says, oh, that's the that's related to the lechatchila, not to the end. We find in Kachim both phenomena. It's both more sensitive because of the stakes of what it is that you're trying, the ambition of what you're trying to accomplish. It's easier to undermine Kachim. It's more difficult to undermine Kachim for the same reason, because some of the dinim might just be better ways to do it. I think that's just as a general hashkafa and halacha idea, it's something to be aware of. But he says, if it's a din in Hechsher, that makes a lot of sense. Anything that has to do with a posel in Kachim, right, doesn't require Shana Kasuv La'akev, because it's not a mitzvah, it's not a chiyuv, it's a pagam, it's a posa. I think that's an important principle. Okay, let's move on from there to something else. Let's go back now to the bigger question. Okay. I should add one other problem that the Griz would have to deal with a lot of Achronim talk about, and Stam al-Lishma, is what about Katan? Right, a Katan Oved, is that going to be a problem in Lishma where there's Stam al-Lishma? Most Makoros seem to think that Stam al-Lishma is not accomplished by a Katan. Again, if you think that it's about Yud and momentum and so on, so you might say, well, you know, as long as it's Biad, a Gavra who is a Bar Lishma. Obviously, again, if it's based on the umdana, the muchach, oh, mistama, he's miskaben, or it's in the back of his mind, if not in the front, so then of course it doesn't apply to katan. Even if it's about yud and yichud and amida l'lishma, even then you could say, oh, but if he's a gavra mufka, then that's gone. But according to the Griz, that basically it's all part of the hafrasha and hakdasha, and it's a bit of a misnomer. You have l'lishma, but it has nothing to do with any kind of input whatsoever, or even consistency of input, and you can't get rid of it no matter what you do. So what's the problem of a katana oved in terms of a shema? So that's a question that is problematic for the Griz as well. Okay. Let's move on beyond the Rambam for a moment, and then back to the Rambam. This idea that lishma is a davar posel has, I think, strong echoes in Rashi and in the Rambam. Again, not so much in Tosis, because as we discussed, Tosis seems to integrate the sugyas of Memvav and Beis, mostly, and sees it all as one, you know, big cholent of some sort. I think for Rashi and for the Rambam, the idea that Lishma or Lo Lishma as a posel is a much stronger possibility. Number one, I think both of them took very seriously the Mishnah on Lamed Vav. We talked about already that Psul Machshava applies to Pigol as well as the Pigol, the two types of Pigol, as well as Lo Lishma. And this is consistent with those funny Rashis that I wanted to talk about for a couple of minutes. I alluded to them yesterday. Let me just talk a little bit more about them for the moment. By the Gemara in Menachos on Mem Tesem and Aleph, is talking about Pigol. That's a sugya about Kiruv Tov, by the way. Agav, the Gemara says, Masiv, Rav Zera, Rav Shimon, Omer, Kol Menachos, all of a sudden the Gemara starts talking about lo lishma. So Rashi interprets, Gemara says, what if you're mechashiv balashum shlamim? This is on Mem Tesam and Aleph. El alav the kasavr shlamim hu, the kamechashiv ba lishum shlamim. Uktani pigulan pigul, amakir betos havakira. Amalabai leolam diyon dechatasi, the kamechashiv ba lishum shlamim. Omer Mutter. Gemara is looking for a case which isn't Akira Batons. So it's a case of Omer Mutter, meaning he thinks it's legally not problematic, but he knows exactly what he's doing. So it's Akira B'Kavana. And it's a situation of the Yada Dechatas, the Komechashe Balashum Shlomi. Now, previously the Gemara was talking about Akira Batons in terms of Pigol. All of a sudden the Gemara is transitioning into Lo Lishma. That in itself is interesting. Right? Especially since, as we noted, right, that the question of Akira Bataos makes much more sense. The issue of Akira Bataos makes much more sense if you're talking about a posel than if you're talking about a psul, right, or lack of heksher. But of course, the bigger problem here is that Rashi interprets a mechashiv bu l'shem shlamim. Rashi says la'ochon shnei yamim v'layla echad. Dash tochishev lecho chatos kutzlizmano the pigul hu v'din chatos yom v'layla. As the case that the Gemara talks about as lo lishma, Rashi turns into pigul. That's a very big chiddush. Then there's the Rashi in Bava Kamma, right? Rashi in Bava Kamma on Hey Omed Aleph. Right there, the Gemara lists, Rav Chiya's list, Rav Oshia's lists of mazikin. And one of the Hamanaseh, Chamefagel. What is Mefagel? Well, the Pashtus, Mefagel means pigul. Rashi there, do we have Bava Kamma? Somewhere? Thank you. So Rashi in Bava Kamma, and Afheo Med Aleph. What is Mefagel? Kohen Sheshachat Karbono Shel Yisrael, Chatas Lashum Shlamim. The Eina Korban Ola Lechovas Balav. The Tzorach Acher. Two Chidushim in Rashi. Number one, the Gemara says Pigol, and Rashi interprets it as Lo Lishma. Number two, he's talking about, according to this Girsa, Chatas Lashum Shlamim. So what do you mean, Eina Korban Ola Lechovas Balav? What's he talking about? Should have said puzzle. And why should he be reticent to say puzzle? We're talking about Avos and Zikin. Right, if you notice, there's an aleph there. Marav Ronsberg. Ayim Menachos Mem Tesam and Aleph, B'Lashon Rashi Sham. Ubetosis Sham. Ayim Pnei Yoshua, B'Shita Mekubetzes. I think I told you guys to look also this Beison. There's a whole discussion about this Rashi. What's going on in this Rashi? So, again, it's based on some of them link these Rashis together. Right. So, there's another Rashi, of course, and that's the Rashi here in Zachim, based on base. Also, the Shnuyei Bei, Rashi says, Lo Yichashev. Lo Yichashev is the makar for Pigel. Makshava Psu. And Rashi Menachos, we know, doesn't say that. So what's going on? So the Mitzvah Eisan in Zvachim, Pnei Yoshua and Bava Kamma, from Mitzal Ronsberg, they try to put some of these Rashis together. They don't tell you what they mean, but they put it together. What do they mean? They mean to put together the idea, they mean to establish that according to Rashi, Pigol and Lo Lishma are interchangeable ideas. You have and it's a symmetrical, right? You have a Gemara, right, which, albeit in the context of Pigol, right, mentions Lo Lishma that Rashi interprets as Pigol. Then you have a Gemara in Bava Kamma, which talks about Pigol, which Rashi renders lo lishma. Right? And then you have our Rashi in Zvachim, who says that the Isur Lishnuye of lo lishma is the same pasuk as Pigol. So just to highlight a little bit more, Pnei Yoshua Halatar, which I did bring with me. So again, he bothered very much. Why did Rashi interpret Pigol as is? There's a few interesting things. So he says, Shnei minei nezikin shavin, lo shayich lenoson el echad. We're talking about a list of avos nezikin in Bava Kamma. Included in the list is also menasek. So we're looking for cases of nezek. You could do a lot more than, you know, what is it, 14 or 24? There are hundreds of cases of nezek. So we're not looking for cases of nezek, we're looking for categories of nezek. But you already have Menasech. So he says, Im kein ochanamim nefarish mefagol dainu pigol kosha dainu Menasech. Kamosha Menasech ha yidei maisa of osir yeno shokhavero ana ochanamim mefagol. Kach pirush Rashi de mefagol de hocha hainu shalo lishma. Im kein lo domi klala Menasech de mefagol kai gavna zevach kosha legamri. If you want a posel, you have that in Menasech. If you want to have said mamon, believe posel, that's what motivated Rashi to say lo lishma. Vilachi shayich b'chal nezikin kin sheno lebailim v'tzarech acher, and that's what Rashi emphasizes. El dakati kasha v'mechatas l'shem shlamim gufa korban pas. If you're talking about, you know, shlamim l'shem chatas, say according to the psak halacha, or ola l'shem shlamim, or shlamim l'shem, or ola l'shem toda, or toda l'shem ola. You know, so that's fine. That would be a good chiluk. Because you want to take the case of posel, and you want a case where it simply has said mamon, even if the korban, the cheftza, is a kosher or korban. But he ruined it by taking the case of chatas. So that's why he says, maybe we should change the girsa. Im kein havle lefarish b'shlamim l'shem chatas, that korban kosher v'lo l'bayim l'shem chov. Su kosher. Okay, that's not our problem. Then he has another suggestion. He says, maybe it's the opposite. He doesn't say maybe it's the opposite. He goes in the opposite direction. Maybe Pigol, after all, is very, very connected. Machshavas Pigol always requires something to do with the Zerika. It's all about the Matir. We'll speak about that, hopefully, at some point as well. Right? So normally, again, the default position is, if you want a machshava poseles, it's pigol, right? Kishmo keinu. But here and there, you know, you might get the impression that maybe pigol doesn't exactly work that way. So the way the Pnei Yoshua puts it is, let's say you have bizman shchita, you have kavanas pigol. What does that mean? At the time of Shechita, you have a kavana that your zrika should be shalom bizman. So, is that a problem then? Is that a posel in the Shechita? Or it's by means of, like, indirectly of the zrika. And then when it comes, when you reach the zrika, since you had a kavana, zrika, shalom bizman of Shechita, so your zrika is not matir. In other words, instead of looking at pigol as a posel, per se, machshava poselas, albeit one which requires some reference to Zrika, maybe Akhtara, I mean one of the Matirim, maybe the way to look at Pigol is altogether different. Pigol is a way of determining or establishing that the Matir of Zrika will work for you. It's a way of undermining the Matir of Zrika. But Stavka, not a posel, because Bishas Shechita, Shechita isn't pogemes and poselas because it's almanas that the zrika should be shalom bezmano. By doing that, you put in play and there's no way to fix it, right? You've been, when you reach the zrika at the time, it'll be a zrika shalom behechsher. it'll be a zrika, more to the point, which doesn't have the capacity to be matir. So that's true. So then you might say exactly the opposite. You might say, actually, that lo lishma is a posel, because after all, the shechita alone, shelo lishma, is posel, right? Whereas pigul isn't really posel, it's just the means of neutralizing the effectiveness of the matter of zrika. Exact opposite of what we normally think. I think there's some evidence to that as well. Of course, my point here is to try to show that there are two possibilities in pigul. There are two possibilities in lo lishma. It could be that pigul and lo lishma are both lack of echsherin. It could be that they're both poslim. It could be that we're mechalek, and it could be that we're mechalek in either direction. And I'm trying to show you different makoros that imply that. This Pnei Yoshua is taking pigul and lo lishma, assuming that they're different, and that's why Rashi went out of his way not to formulate pigul, but rather lo lishma, because they're different, but in opposite directions. The first possibility is pigul's a posel, lo lishma is not a posel, except not in the case of chatas, and he's concerned about that. The second is the opposite. The reason we mention, when we say pigul as a mazik, lo lishma is because lo lishma is really the posel, not really pigul. Either way, what do you do with the question of chatas l'shem shlam, and after all, that really is a posel? Right? So the Pnei Yeshua himself wants to change the gear. So, shlam l'shem chatas can't be what it says. I think this Rashi has a second chiddush. Rashi knows that chatas l'shem shlam is posel, but Rashi is explaining to you, Rashi's taking a view on one of our questions, why is chatas different? And how different is chatas, which is pasul lagamri, from the, you know, rest of the cases, which is kosher v'lo al l'bayil l'shem chova? What Rashi's trying to tell you is one of two things. Either that, even in the case of chatas, in theory, l'shma wouldn't be posel. The only thing is that lamaiso, we don't have an outlet for chatas. One of the possibilities, we say it's not that chatas is a higher standard. In chatas, it's a posel, right? In chatas, the gap is too great, and therefore it's a different kind of lo lishma, right? All those explanations would lead us to conclude that there's a fundamental qualitative difference with regard to the issue of lishma between chatas' need for hechsher is different. Maybe that too. Right? Or it's a technicality. If you had the flexible options, fallback positions and chatas that you have in the other karbanos, then the impact of the shema would be the same. Lemaisa, you don't. So you end up with a karban which is useless. So maybe that's exactly what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying is, of course, chatas l'shem shlamim is pasul. But the real halacha is the halacha that lo'ol l'baylim l'shem chova. Of course, once that's true, then bimela, in chatas, it's also not kosher. But not because intrinsically it's not kosher, but because l'maisa, you don't have an outlet. So what are you going to do with the karba? The chatas shemesa balal, something of that sort. Or, what he's trying to say is, if pigul is referred to in the list, this would be the parallel opposite. Pigul is referred to in the list of mazikim, right? So pigul has a connotation of always being a mazik, right? So that applies. It's hard to say that, you know, what that means is lo lishma, that's bad enough. And it means lo lishma dafka in the case of chatas, you know, where the karban is pasul. That's what it means. Right, the word says pigul. Pigul applies to all karbanos, without these kind of qualifications. So what Rashi means to say is exactly, again, the parallel opposite, which is, I'm going to highlight the case of chatas to tell you what's really going on in all of the karbanos. in all of the karbanos, the real point is that it's a psul. This is what we're going to get back to in just a second. On the kapara level, maybe even on the cheftishal karban level, you've done damage which is irreparable. The only thing is that, you know, there's a generic outlet, a hyphenated outlet, whatever it is, there's still a way to bring the karban. But the more important principle is the fact that it's lo'ol alabaylin. You see that from chatas, where the lo'ol alabaylin, you know, and when you don't have the fallback position, is posol legamri. So these are two opposite, I think, explanations of Rashi without changing the girsa. Either Rashi's trying to say that even chatas, right, is not a posel, it's just a problem. It's a hefsed mamon, but it's not a posel. Right? In that sense, it's like others, it's like all the other karbanos. Rashi's trying to say that all the other karbanos are really like chatas, even though they give the misleading impression of kashas hakarban, like chatas, the pagam, in terms of la'ol labaylim, is the ikar, not the top, which is part of our continuing discussion. Either way, the fact that Rashi interprets the word pigol, or interpolates in the word pigol, lo lishma, if you don't know like that aspect of the Pnei Yeshua, again, I was trying to show the Pnei Yeshua also the two perspectives, but would work very nicely with the other Rashi in Menachos and with the Rashi in Zvachim. All of these work well if you hold that shelo lishma, like pigol, is a davar posel. At the same time, again, in terms of Rashi's, the Rashi Menachos, as we talked about, doesn't go that way in terms of the Issa L'Shnuyeh, unless there's a difference between Menachos and Zvachim. In theory, one also could have said on the Issa L'Shnuyeh that there's a difference between Chatos and Pesach and the Shar Korbanos. Actually, Rav Belvel in the stencils in Menachos makes that suggestion, just to highlight it again. In words, Pasul Legamri, that's Le'ichashay. Where it's Lo'ol Labaylim L'Shem Chova, that's not based on the pasuk of Pigul. That's possibility as well. I should also add the Rashi Menachos that we read yesterday, which we'll get back to. Rashi Menachos on Mem Chesamid base, where he talks about Kivsei Atzeres, Shalokim Mitzvasan. There Rashi says that Pigul is a psula guf, right? It doesn't need any bird surah, while shelo lishma is not a psula guf. So the Rashi Menachos Memches and Menachos Abbeis are mechalik between pigol and lo lishma. The Rashi's in Bava Kama and in Menachos on Memtes and Aleph and in Zvachin base on base go in the other direction. Yeah.
Rashi and Mizanah
seems to suggest
that Rashi and Bizanat seems to suggest you'd have a habit of that after the second Shema Kodesh, even in Shai Karbonos would make it possible as well.
What do you mean the second Shema Kodesh?
If you did it once and then again.
I mean, if you did a second Shino, then it wouldn't just be a problem of
it says Mew in over Vashino Kosher. Implying
that
there
was that. Oh, there's a
Hava meaning.
We don't think that. Right.
That would work with the idea that it works as a psul. But the goal would also work with what Rashi was the second version of the Rebbe explaining the
Tavish. Right, right, right. That's an interesting point. Yeah, we don't say that, but the fact that you need to preclude that is a good point. Okay. So I think at least some of these Rashis, or at least a connection to points in the direction of Posel or in the opposite direction, depending how you get with the Yeshua issues, etc. And the Rambam, I think it's certainly true. Now, Rav Belvel already made that point, that the Rambam's Psulei Mekdashim implies strongly that we're dealing with a Posel, not with a lack of Hechsher. We already talked about the context. I'd just like to add a few Ha'aros in the Rambams that Rav Belvel, at least in the piece in the... I have to review the stencils again. There's a lot of material there, and I have a chance to look at it, but at least the piece in the Maisa Karbanos, which I refreshed my memory recently, does not mention. I think a few of them are very, very important. Number one, the Rambam Psulei Mekdashim, Perek Tezvav, Halacha Gimel. here the Rambam has an interesting formulation, and it needs to be combined with Perek Yud Ches Halacha Aleph. I think we have these in the Mar Makos. Also, Lachashiv B'Kodshim Machshava She'ena Nechona Kemoshi Yisbar. So, of course, you read that line in the Rambam; it's a loaded line, right? Seemingly innocuous, but you know, pregnant with all sorts of possibilities. Number one, what does Eina Nechona mean? It's like it should have quotations or what do you mean? Machshava She'ena Nechona. Any Machshava, or is he going to ever tell us what Eina Nechona means? And of course, Kimosha Yisvayar, so we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Where does he say it? So if you look at the rest of Perek Tezvav, you find nothing. Perek Tezayin, start getting worried. What's happening with the Rambam? Until you reach, I'm sorry, that's Perek Tezayin, start getting worried. Perek Yud Zayin, panicking. Then you reach Perek Yud Ches, right? And that's when the payoff comes. And our faith in the Rambam, you know, is renewed, although it's Stama, right? And in this case, it's Ravelville Stama. And there's no Paraduma exception. Right, here's where the quotations come back. What's a machshava she'ena nechona? Harei ze'over belo sasei. Shareinu omer lo yechashev. V'pi ha'shmua lamdu shebechal din zeh shele yachsin ha'kadshim b'machshava. Shareinu zeh doma lematil mum b'kadshim. V'yafo b'kein ena loka she'ena machshava maisa. An amazing Rambam. Controversial Rambam. Everybody agrees with this Rambam. The Rambam here tells us not only that there's impact to Machshava Aposeles, but that there's an Iser. And he compares it to Lo, he says it's based on Lo Yichashev, right? And Mipi Yashmu Lamdu, that this is the category of Matil Mum Bekadshim. So, based on Tezvav Gimel, right, we now know that that applies not only to Pigol, which is what the Rambam is talking about here, but it applies to what the Rambam's in Halacha Beis. The Rambam's talking about Tezvav Aleph is Kol Tezvav Shniptu Machsheva Shini Hashem. Right, Halacha Beis came Kol Menachos Shenasu Machsheva Shini Hashem, and then Halacha Gimel also the Kashya Bekadshim Machsheva Shini Lechon of the ones that we're talking about. Kimo Sheyizbar means Perek Yud Ches, and you look in Perek Yud Ches, and he completes the Eino Nechona, the Fikach. Back to Gimel, Zevach Sheshachta Shalol Lishma, or Mincha Shekimtza Shalol Lishma, Chayv Lahashlim Shar Avodos Lishma, Asa Lishnuye. This is our interpretation of our Gemara. Asa Lishnuye. What is the Iser? He doesn't tell us here. That's Kemoshe Yisbayar. The payoff is, it's Lo Yechashev, it's Matil Mum Bekadshim. By the way, there's practically a Malkus, if not for Lav, She'ein Bo Maisa, that saves you. Right? But this is the equivalent of Machshava She'ena Nechona. Is it a Psal Machshava? Is it a Dabra Posel? Matumum Bekadshim? That's a lack of Hechsher? Certainly not. Ravelva doesn't bring it. I think it's an amazing sequence in the Rambam. Of course, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Aleph. This he does bring. Shalosh Machshava Sein Shaposim is a Karban. Right? Machshava Shini Hashem. We'll talk about why he calls it Shini Hashem all the time and includes Shini Kodesh and Shini Bailim. That's crucial to the next topic. Machsheves Hamoko, Machsheves Hazman. Right? And then comes Ketzad and, you know, the focus on the problems of Lishma. But the integration between Pigol and the others in Psuli and Muktashim, same Iser, Matomum, same Hagdara of Machsheves Lo Nechona, all of this is very powerful. Again, this is to contrast it for a second. That same Pnei Yeshua that I mentioned before about the connection between Pigol and, you know, Lo Lishma and Boeing going in both directions, and the irony that that's within Rashi, who's Dafka, you know, substituting one for the other. So that in that Pnei Yeshua, I believe he also talks about the question whether we say Bechashvin Me'avoda Le'avoda by Lo Lishma. Now, let's say you're being shochet. Again, in Pigol, that's what we have, right? You're being shochet, amanas, lizrok, shalom bizman. You're being makabel, right? Almanas, Lizrok, right, Shalom Bizman. That's called Mechashvin Me'avod Ale Avod. Let's say you do that in Lola Shema. Let's say you're Mechashev in Shechita, you know, you have Kavana Shechita L'Shem Zevak Zev properly, but you're Mechashev during the Shechita that you're going to do the Kabbalah Shalom Lishma. Right, what's the halacha there? Do we say that just like in Pigo we have such an idea? We have such an idea here, or not? Discussions on the Gemara and so on. So, Yeshua, part of his discussion of the relationship between Pigo and Lola Shema in the context of that Rashi and Bavakama says, oh, I mean, just because it works in Pigo, that doesn't necessarily mean that it works in Lola Shema. Look how different they are. You have to go back to the Gemaras, and, but it's all part of maybe Mechashvin. Again, it could be a technical issue, the need for the focus on Zrika and the Matir, right? And it's a chalos in Pigo, maybe it's not the same kind of chalos in Lishma, just for technical reasons. The similar problem, we talk about the relationship between some of the requirements of Pesach and regular Korban. Let's say, Machsheves, Arelim, and Mulim, and Ochlim, and you know, things of that, Tmeim, you know, in the different things. You know, do they simply have a chalos in the register? Are they meaningful in a certain context? But there's also another issue, and that is, what kind of phenomena are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with Hechsherim? Are we dealing with Poslim? The same types of Poslim? Maybe that figures into the question of Mishana, right, me, Davar Ladavar. If that's the case, then that would be a very important distinction, or that whole discussion would be an important discussion. Okay. In terms of Psula Guf, so we talked about that yesterday. Let's talk a little bit more about it today. As we pointed out, there seems to be conflicting evidence when we look at Shinui Kodesh as Psula Guf or not. Normally, we do look at Pigol as being a Psula Guf. So the Gemara, again, we'll get back to this also in Shinui Kodesh, but the Gemara seems to say, and Dalad Ralph, Dalad Nabeh, so that's the distinction between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailin. Whether it's the Gemara's conclusion seems to be that they're equivalent. And as I mentioned last time, in Zvachim, it sounds like they're equivalent. They're Shinui, they're Psula Guf. They're both Psula Guf. In Psachim, it sounds like they're both not Psula Guf. Either way, we'll get back to that. That's a Tosin Zvachim on Dalad Amid Beis already points out that discrepancy. We'll talk about it more. This comes up again in Menachos Mem Chesed Beis, we were talking about yesterday. Kivsi Atzeres Sheshachtan Shelo Lishma. Shelo Kemitzvason. According to Rashi, that means Shelo Lishma. So Rashi explains Ibur Tzura because it's not a Psula Guf, and he contrasts it with Pigol, as we discussed. Tosus, on the other hand, as we mentioned, thinks that Pigol and Shelo Lishma are identical in this halacha. That's why Tosus says, this is the Man Damar who thinks that you need Ibur Tzura also for Pigol. But again, this whole discussion, A, is Shelo Lishma Psula Guf? B, what's the relationship between Pigol and Lo Lishma when it comes to the question of Psula Guf, is very, very relevant. But let me introduce already the Shidu Kubetzes, which we'll talk about a little more later. The Shidu Kubetzes has a third and fourth view. Shimon Kubetzes there on Menachos, on Mem Kesel Beis, has two possibilities. How can it be that you need Ibur Tzura, that it isn't a Psula Guf? The Gemara says in Zvachim that it is a Psula Guf. So one possibility, Tema, Armina Bitzachim, Kol Shem Psula Begufa Yisarif Miyad, you don't need Ibur Tzura. V'chein, Shana, Shehavi ben Shtayim, Psul Begufo. Chem Psul Shalom Lishma, the Psul Begufo, can have been on the Perakal Shah, Zvachin. Yesh Mepharshim ben Shana, Shehavi ben Shtayim, Lochashvinam Psul Begufo. Hodakashile Bezvachim, Island and Shinui Bailin. So, number one is a Kiddush about Ben Shana and Ben Shtayim as opposed to Mkhusar Zman. That's not for us right now, but that's something to keep an eye on. More important, if you hold the shita that Shelo Kemitzvaso means Shelo Lishma, so he says his first suggestion is that there are different levels of Psula Guf. When the Gemara in Zvachim calls Shinui Kodesh Psula Guf, it means in contrast to Shinui Bailim. But it doesn't mean it's Shini Aguf vis-a-vis Pigul. Because even the Gemara that says it doesn't mean it. Rav Velbel has a whole piece. I'm not going to go into it right now because I don't know how many of you read it already. So we'll pick up on, I guess, Monday the next year. So maybe we'll... either way, we'll discuss it then. But Rav Velbel has a suggestion that, again, that there are two dinim of Psul Aguf. There's a Psul Aguf that is like a real, you know, super Psul Aguf. The one that affects even the basar, the entire korban. And then there's a psul aguf that relates to certain, that relates to the hakrava, a psul bagufa hakrava, but not to the basar, not to the total korban. Might be something similar, we'll discuss whether it's the same or not, to what the Shidduch Kibetz says. But the first day of Shidduch Kibetz is very important. Even when the Gemara says psul aguf, Shini Kodesh, it doesn't really mean. Then he has a second day, which is really important. Yeshafarshim, Dahida Hacha, Asya Kiraba, Afilu Pigol, Ton Libritsu. Right? That's Tosas, that's not what I want. Tema, Amina Ketsat Solin, Marsas Msakam, the Fine Gimel, Kosha Psuda Begufa Yisare. Right? The Damu Babailim, Tubar Tsuras. It says Yeshomar, the Psul Shalolishman, Kalhu. He's trying to explain what's the difference between this and, let's say, psul aguf, a regular psul aguf of people. So he says, "Shiny shalol shmon kalhu, the nichshar bekol hazvachim, hilkach lo chashvina le psul begufo." This is a very important shidduch kibetz. It has echoes in the Gemara and Daf Gimel and Zvachim, which we'll get to again before we end today. But what's he saying? Remember that he's talking about the view in the Gemara that says that shalokim mitzvason, according to Rashi, means shalol lishma in kivsei atzeres is ma'akev. Right? You need ibur tzura, but it's isare. It's machlokas in the Gemara. In the previous Gemara, in the Mechasim and Aleph and Menachos, if it's kivsei atzeres shishakban shalol lishman, or shishakban beilu fnei zmanu beilu achar zmanon, Adam Yizarek Abasar Yachem. This day in the Gemara thinks that no, and that's what we're trying to figure out. Again, where does it come from? Is it based on Chatos? Is it based on Lakama? Tosas does a discussion. We'll get back to that. Right, Tosas is a question that we mentioned before. Like, why isn't it in the Mishnah? But my point is that we're dealing with a Lishma, which is Ma'akev, which is Posa. The Shidduch Kibetz is telling you, even though we're dealing with one which is Ma'akev, right? It's not a psul aguf le'inyan that you don't need to ubar tsurasan. The haraya, when it comes to shar karbanos, lishma is a psul kal, because when it comes to shar karbanos, it's kosher v'lo l'maylun l'shem chova. So you have to say two things here. Number one, that lo'olo l'bailin l'shem chova, kosher lo'olo l'bailin l'shem chova, right? Again, how do you look at it? There are three ways to look at it. We're going to move on to that issue in just a minute. But we've already touched it. I mean, it's all connected. Right? One way to look at it is that basically what you emphasize is kosher, right? Lo'olo l'bailin l'shem chova. That's the more peripheral part. You get a little slap on the wrist, or there's a Chisaron and the Kapara, or the Chova, bring a second Korban, whatever it is. The most important part of the statement is that it's kosher. That there's no psul shalol lishma. Or the opposite, right? Sol abayil l'shem Chova. It's a pgur, it's a psul in the Korban. It's kosher because, right, there's a fallback position of some sort, for whatever reason. That's less important than the fact that it's all about the Shem Chov. If it wasn't for the fact that it's a real psul, maybe even a posel, right, it would be all about the Shem Korban too. So more important than anything is to emphasize, right, the pgam rather than the hechsher. And then, of course, the middle possibility. And that is that these are two different aspects of a korban. Both of these things are important. Both these are true. Right, the Lo'ol Abayil L'Shem Chova is definitely important, the fact that it's kosher is important. I mean, the impact of lishma is mixed. It's not trivial that it's lo labayim l'shem chalava. It's not trivial that it's kosher. There are two components, there are two issues here. So clearly, Shidduch Kibetz is taking the position that the fact that lo labayim l'shem chalava is relatively insignificant compared to kosher. He basically lo lishma is an iser kal or it's a psul kal. Doesn't have much of an impact. That's assumption number one. Assumption number two is, even if that's true for Shar Karbonos, where it's not posel, but what about Chatos? What about Pesach? What about Kivsei Atzeres? Right? But there it's posel. So you can prove from the low posels that it's kal even when it's posel, but it's posel, but it's not psul aguf. No, it's a whole different story. That's what we've been discussing. So you see, the Shidduch Kibetz doesn't hold that way. Again, Moshe L'madav Adomo, what I just was talking about in the Rashi, right, in Bava Kamma. Right, Rashi in Bava Kamma emphasizes lo labaylam l'shem chova kosher hu b'lo labaylam l'shem chova, but he emphasizes lo labaylam l'shem chova even though he's talking about chatas. Like, why is he doing that? Right, so I said there could be two possibilities. Either because what he's trying to say is, you know, to use, again, Ariel's language, the psul of lishma is nishkefer lach, right? Because we see it doesn't do much. It's just all about the shem chova. Ayin chatos, it looks like mavel arayin, right? So that's because it's misleading. It's because there's no backup, right? It's a summer, we can speak a little Yiddish. Your gardens also.
We have to. We have to break this.
That's right, the lady.
That's how the Grizz said
it. By the way, no coke in the rug.
Maybe that's how the Grizz said it.
What?
That's how the Grizz said it.
Is that what he said it? Probably. He probably did say it, though. He definitely was not giving Shurim and Sfaradit. Not that there's anything wrong with that. At all. Probably not the King's English either. So, right, so that's one way to look at it. Or to say it's the exact opposite. What he really wants to highlight is, while it's true that chatas and only chatas is pasul, you should know that all the bailim and all the karbanos is the echo, is the two opposite ways, is the echo of what we really have in chatas and maybe in Pesach. So this Shidduch Kibetz is taking the view that Shar Karbanos is made on the kal even of psul. Now, of course, it's also possible to suggest, that the Shidduch Kibetz here should be looked at in light of Tosis's question, meaning, is what I'm saying true about his perspective on Chatos and Pesach necessarily? No. After all, where did these Kivsei Atzeres come from? Right, they're not on the list of the Mishnah. That's what I was referring to before. We might say, and that's Tosas asked, how come they're not on the list, according to this Mandama, why aren't they in the Mishnah? So Tosas gives various answers, mostly technical answers. Tosas asks the question. Tosas says, once we're going to get involved with Shlomim, and this Shlomim, yes, that Shlomim, no, we want to have a glatta Mishnah, right? So there's, a glatta Mishnah means, Chatas and Pesach. Once you start dinzaching with the, with the Shlomim, you're getting into trouble. That's one answer, Tosfos Menachos. The other answer, Tosfos Menachos, is very interesting, is about the Lechem. Right, Tosfos says, Very interesting process. Given the iskush lachatos, the asa b'hadei, the Siva Sisam series in Echad L'Chatas, Mishnei Kvasim. Tosa says that according to this Mandamar, Kivsei Atzeres is actually closer to Chatas in some respects than Asham is, based on the Psukim. Tema, Minale Taima, Mishimakesha, Dilma, Hoel, Boim, Lahatir, Chadash, Bemikdash, Veloetiru, Ramai Tosav, Rab, Perakama. What Tosa is saying? Gemara seems to say that the reason that Kivsei Atzeres is going to be possible is because of the connection to Chatas, that's what Tosa was talking about a second ago. Maybe there's a different reason, and that is that Kivsei Atzeres is a matir. It's a matir, which is part of the matir of Chodosh b'mitshnelechem. It's an accompaniment to shnelechem on Shavuos, and in that sense, it's a matir. So why not just say that's what it is? If it can't serve its function, then it's possible. It's nothing to do with the connection to Chatas. Yishlomar the imkein lech shavnami rav kivsei atzeres. Vachanami lechshov minchas omer v'asham nazir u'metzora. These are also matirim. It's a fascinating issue. I mean, Tosa is saying maybe the reason there's nothing to do with chatas is because it's a matir. And Tosa's answer is there are other matirim, right? Minchas omer asham nazir metzora. Inami halechem hu amatir. Ukvasim de matirim lechem lo ikri matir. In fact, these are important to deos for understanding kivsei atzeres. Again, if you're building a database, and you know asham nazir and mitzora, right? To what extent are they just matirim? Are they, you know, the triggers for the matirim? Are they adjuncts to the matir? Inami lechem nami lo mikri matir. Kivin shekodem l'shtei alechem and maybe kosher. That's an important perspective on shtei alechem. Right? Shtei alechem is matir in the mikdash. You know, the same way that the omer is matir b'chutz, or it's more b'torah. It's not really so much a matir as it is the prerequisite on a chiyuv level. Again, that's a it's chinuch. That's. Can I talk about that in Sir? Maybe not. I think I was thinking of that. Okay. In any case, this whole Tosis is very, very important, very suggestive. What I'm trying to say, I hope it's not taking too long, is the following. Number one, some of the factors that Tosis mentions earlier may be very suggestive. Tosis themselves probably mean when they say, you know, we're not going to get involved with Shlomim because then you have to make Chilukim. We're not going to get involved you know, with things that require lechem, because that's a whole different category. Tosas means it in a technical way. No question that Tosas is basically saying this belongs in the Mishnah, right? But for various reasons, it's not there. And the same is true in the continuation. But one could have said that, well, this is the question, there are different types of psulim. And what I'm suggesting in general, again, this is all going back to the recurring questions that we're talking about, which is, number one, to this question of Hechsher and Psul, we can be mechalik between Psul Gamor and Psul Olamayel M'Shem Chova. But theoretically, we could also be mechalik between different types of Olamayel M'Shem Chovas and different types of the Psul Gamri. There's a Psul Gamri of the model, right, which is Nebuch, what can you do? One more, just for the road, right? Nebuch, what can you do? You know, you don't have an option, but otherwise, it would be kosher. Right? And then there's the psul, which is in the variety of, you know, it's missing the basic ingredient, you know, to be kosher. It's missing its hechsher, or it's a davar posel legamri, because of the nature of this particular carbon. So if that's true, you might say the Mishnah refers to one category, right? There are other cases out there which are pasul legamri, but they don't belong in the Mishnah. Right? That would assume that Pesach and Chatas are the same. Right? We still want to get back to that point. Is it possible that Gufo we should be mechalik in Pesach and Chatas in this question? maybe there are three categories of things that are apostle for different reasons. Right? Some having to do with standards, something having to do with not having any other outlet, some having to do with the gap, you know, between the various karbanos, maybe four, some having to do with the fact that by its intrinsic nature there's no generic. Point is that maybe one of the things that Tosfos is saying is, not Tosfos isn't saying this, but one could say it is, even though there's a comparison to Chatos, the fact is that it's still a Shlamim, and a Shlamim, even one that's compared to Chatos, is not one which is going to be possible by its nature. Or the real carbon here is the Lechem. This is not what Tosfos means. I'm just saying you could have taken these factors and the real carbon here is the Lechem. The Kvasim are an adjunct. So for that reason, the Lishma is Ma'ake. They're not an independent carbon anyway. You have an independent carbon and it doesn't go, it's one thing. You have an adjunct and it's not working for its function, so then it's nothing. It can't morph into something else. It doesn't need to morph into something else. It has no intrinsic value. By the same token, Tosfos asks the question, we could give a whole this part isn't intended. Tosfos says, forget about the connection to Chatos. Why not just say it's a matir? And since it's not being matir, right, so it's possible to gamri. What does Tosfos mean by that? What Tosfos means is the model of this particular function is what defines it. Without that function, it's nothing. Now, we might end up saying something like that for Chatos and for Pesach. Right? But he's saying it about matirin. Then he ends up saying, well, it is, you know, that kind of a matir, or it's not that kind of a matir. Shtei Alechem doesn't, you know, accomplish that kind of goal. Its role in Shtei Alechem is an adjunct. You know, is it really true that the Kivsei HaOmer have the same idea? Right? Is it closer than Asham or further than Asham? It's an action-packed Tosfos. It seems like it's answering a few technical questions. It's actually that. But the point is, it may present us with different models of La'ola, La'ba'ilim, not only La'ola, La'ba'ilim, Shemkhova, this parallel in La'ola, La'ba'ilim, Shemkhova, but it might present us with different models of P'sul. But in that sense, so is it true, getting back to Shita Mekubetzes, Shita Mekubetzes' point, which is, oh, well, the reason this isn't a P'sul Agof is because, you know, it's kosher of La'ola, La'ba'ilim, Shemkhova, generally, and therefore the Shema is an Yisr Kal. So the Pashtus of Shita Mekubetzes is, he's saying this across the board. He's saying, even where you have, whether it's Chatos or Pesach, or this particular example of Kivsei Atzeres, whenever you have a Psul Gamor, it's still reflected, its quality of the Psul is still reflected by the fact that the other Karbanos aren't as effective. It's still the same. We don't say, oh, the Psul Lishma here is Chamor, the Psul Lishma there is not. It's like Rebbe was saying in the stencils, right? The Eloi Chashev applies to Chatos and Pesach. Chashev doesn't apply to the other ones, even on the level of Osir Lishnuyah. It's Osir Lishnuyah, but it's not that. It's not Lo Yichashev. And we could say that. We could maybe Chiluk between Pesach and Chatos, maybe Pesach and Chatos versus Kvasim, etc., according to what I'm saying right now. So Shinu Kvasim is saying, no, it's all one topic, Osir Lishnuyah. But in theory, I might have said, that's a very important perspective. Theory, I might have said, maybe he means that specifically for Kavas. But he might not think that for Chatos and Pesach. Chatos and Pesach are mentioned in the Mishnah as separate categories. That's different. Okay. Either way, we'll see in a moment, that is a line, this line of the Shidduch Kubanzas has its roots in the Gemara in Zvachim Yud Gimel. Just to sum that up in the end. We're getting close to the end for today. And I think there's the opposite discussion. The Sugya in Zvachim Daf Yud and Sugya Psachim Samach Aleves, which we'll get to in just a couple of minutes. Okay, so far I spent some time trying to suggest evidence that we're dealing with a posel, and a little bit of evidence that the opposite view, it's all about a chair and there's no posel whatsoever, including this last line of Shidduch Kubetzes. So what is that evidence? Again, the Rashi Menachos Memches Aleves, Shidduch Kubetzes that we just discussed, meaning even when it's possible, it's not possible. It's really lack of Ola L'Bailim, just one, which ends up having wider consequences. if there's no psul aguf, that would be implied as well. Maybe the Ramban goes in this direction as well. The Ramban, again, the Gris quotes it partly anyway, in the Hashmatos in Sefer Mitzvos and Lav Dalid, on the pasuk called Sizbach Hashem Elokecha Kol Dovar Ra Ki Toavas Hashem. So what's included in that? What actions, what improper actions are included? So Shechita Bedarom, Pigol, a few other things. What's missing? Lo Lishma. In other words, where Rashi and the Rambam apply Lo Yechashev to Lo Lishma, so the Ramban had equal opportunity to apply Lo Sizbach Hashem Elokecha Kol Davarot to Vas Hashem, which refers to improper shchitos or improper avodos, right? Not my Hara, others have made it before me. He omits, he happens to omit Lo Lishma. Maybe he thinks Lo Lishma is more of a, you know, Hechsher problem, more of a Lalalabailim Shem Chova, which ends up in some case being inflated, having other consequences, but not more than that. And as I said, the Pnei Yoshua has the two deos, is Pigel worse or Pigel better, which I think are connected to this problem as well. Tosa Menachos Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, is also relevant to our question. Suga in Menachos on Mem Zayin Amid Aleph talks about also Kivsei Aseres Ein Mekadshenes Alechem Ela B'Shechita. Gemara says that Kivsei Aseres is only Mekadish the Lechem if the Shechita is proper. Ketzer Shachtan Lishman Zarkan Daman Lishman Kiddush Alechem Shachtan Shelo Lishman Zarkan Daman Shelo Lishman Lo Kiddush Alechem. The question is, Shachtan Lishman Bizar Daman Shalol Lishman. So there, Halechem Kadosh Veino Kadosh, Divrei Rebbe, Rav Shimon Omer Liolim Eino Kadosh Ad Sheyishkat Lishman V'Yizrok Lishman. Then later on, the Gemara has an Ibaya also. Gemara says, Boy Minei Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Rav Chia Bar Abba, Kitzchak Tzer Sheshachtan Lishman V'Zarek Daman Shalol Lishman, Oso Lechem Ma'u Bachilo. Ali b'demad, Ila b'derab Lazar, he said Zrika Mekadsh, Ila b'derab the Rebbe, Beila Bai Beila Rava, Kadosh Veinu Nita, Ali b'dehai Tana, and so on. This whole discussion whether Zrika Lishma is Ma'akev in Kivse, in the Lechem, the Kiddush Lechem of Kivse Atzeres. Okay. Two things, of course, are interesting here. Number one, this is according to the Mandamar, this is not Mem Chesu Mabez. This is not according to the Mandamar that Kivsei Atzeres Lishma's Ma'akim. This is according to the Mandamar that Kivsei Atzeres is Lishma's Ma'akim. It's El Lal Labai L'Shem Chova. But it undermines the Lechem. That's going to be important when we get back to the middle case, the middle position, which is key. Right? Mostly we've been dealing with all of it because we have to deal with all of it, but you know, mostly we've been focusing on Chatos and Pesach or things where there's a Pekam and a Psul. What impact beyond Lo'ol L'Bailam L'Shem Chova Lo L'Shma has in the other cases, like the scope of its impact, what still applies and what doesn't apply is obviously going to be crucial in assessing what this compromise really is. So the fact that there's no Kiddush Lechem with the Shechita Shalol L'Shma, even though the Shechita Shalol L'Shma doesn't passel the Karban, just the Lalabayim L'Shem Chova, is itself interesting, and the suffix is about Zrika. Either way, there's a very suggestive and interesting Tosis here. Tosis says, Lama li Zrika. How could the Zrika be a problem? A parakam of the Psachim, Maskinu de Blazer of Shimon Savar Kavua, which says, Kolom Elizer Kizar Dami. So Tosis gives two answers essentially to that question. Tirutz Riva, Zrika Shalol L'Shma Griya Minishbach Adam. That's very interesting. Zrika Shalol L'Shma is worse than no Zrika. When there's no Zrika, we say Kol Omed L'Zrok Kizar Gdami. Now, Ken, if the din of L'Shma had to do with Hechsher, then you can never say that. Right? You can never say that Zrika Shalom Lishma is worse than no Zrika. This seems to say that Zrika Shalom Lishma is a posa. As it happens, this isn't just in the context of being Ma'akev. As I say, this is even in Kosher V'lalol L'Bayil L'Shem Chova. But vis-a-vis Kiddush Lechem. Then Tosfos has another answer. He asks the question a little differently. He says, why is it worse than Pigol? Kosher V'lekamon Perakam V'nokso Anasachim Muchach T'afagav D'nasib P'sul B'zrika Shazar Kamenas Lechol Chutz L'zmanon Pigol. We still say Kolom Edlizor Kizarik Dami. So if a Zrika Psula Pigol doesn't take away the Kolom Edlizor Kizarik Dami, why does Zrika Shalol Lishma? Maybe. Vachisim B'gemar Asam. Look, the Pigol B'shchita Makshav Al Pigol B'zrika Mai Achanami D'metama Tumas Ochlin. The Tosis here says, this is a very important line, Yesh L'chale the Shalol Lishma Oker HaKarban V'oseyu Karban Acher Inami Achanami Baila Neymar V'yeh Raila Zrika. The second answer basically says it's not worse than Pigol. Maybe it's not even worse than no Zrika. The first answer, and this is again well known because this is too sharp and famous a formulation, suggests the possibility that the impact of Lo Lishma, again the first day of Tosis was Lo Lishma is worse than no Zrika. The second antithesis is, it's a different question, but it doesn't matter. It's basically the same issue. Is shelo lishma okra karban ba'oseu karban acher? Now, again, all along we've been talking about this. I guess I have three models. One is lack of hechsher, the other is a posel, and the other is a transformation of the character of the karban. Now, what that transformation is, I think, is still open. Is it nituk from what it was? You know, now it's a kind of hyphenation karban. You know, is it a generic karban? Right? Or is it the karban of your, or to some extent, or maybe on a hyphenated level, or maybe on a real level, on some level, is it the karban that you changed it to, that your lishma was about? Not completely, obviously. I mean, no one's going to say that an Ola L'Shem Chatos, let's say according to the Arpsak, no one's going to say, oh, you have to go ahead and be, it's kosher, but you have to do Dalad Zrikos. For sure no one says that. But is this now what I'm asking is, according to this formulation, is it, you know, no longer a pure Ola? Is it an Ola generic? Is it a generic straight? Or is it an Ola Chatos? Not enough of a chatas that has dinei chatas, maybe enough of an ola chatas or an ola generic or a non-pure ola, you know, that there's some question whether it has all the dinei ola. Either way, this idea that somehow the shame is changed, or whether it's changed from or shame into, changed, you know, through some sort of a combination, that's not exactly a lack of hechsher. Maybe work with lack of hechsher. It's more than a posel, it's less than a posel. It's just different. But it's an important perspective. Both perspectives in this Tosa are important. Okay, let's move on. It's going to take a few more minutes. I know we're going very long in the show, but let's just get past this first topic. Either way, we'll pick up on Monday. I'll give the Baruch Hu Sunday morning, unless I have tentative ones now, but I can give you fuller ones Sunday morning. Either way, Shinui Bailim is part of these Makaros. So we're not even finishing these Makaros yet. I still want to speak about Pesach for a couple of minutes quickly on Monday. So Sunday morning I'll have a maybe a more meduyak Makaros for Shini Bayim. Let me just try to get through one other point though on Shini Kodesh. So let me zero in now just on this issue that we've been talking about, which is the Share of Lo Labailim Shem Chova and these three possibilities. Again, one, to emphasize the Kshera and to see Lo Labailim Shem Chova as more peripheral. Two, to see the Kshera as peripheral, to see Lo Labailim Shem Chova as key. And three, to see this as essentially not one or the other, but you know, some sort of a mixed impact of the Lishma, or the impact of different aspects of the korban differently by the lishma, like a true ambivalence or a true complex position. Okay, so one possibility is simply to say that it's an ikuv and kapara or a chiyuv hava. Basically, you haven't changed the korban, you haven't been posel the korban. There's no lack of hechsher in the korban. The korban is the korban. Even then, is it possible that there are some ramifications beyond the fact of bringing another korban and the fact that there's no complete kapara? There may be even aspects of kapara, but maybe the fact that this isn't the only korban that you bring, that you will be obligated to bring another one to fulfill the status of neder, maybe that affects certain dinim. The reason I'm saying that is because there are several gemaras, which hopefully we'll mention very quickly today, right, that talk about discuss the impact of some of the, again, auxiliary or adjunct, you know, aspects of the korban in the aftermath of this psak of lo levan l'shem kol. For example, what about nesachim? Gemara paid test on the base, and again it's Sadi Aleph and Aleph in Menachos. Tosis there also. What about, like we just saw, Kiddush Lechem, Kivsei Atzeres. And in parallel, Todas Lechem, the impact of Omer, right, Shnei Gzirin, you know, for Tamid in the Boker, Shnei Gzirin Lekoi Nechad, the Shaka Vatari, the Gemara paid test. On the base, Gemara has several cases, several issues. So, Gemara has in several places those kind of discussions. Even though we're talking about kosher of lo'ol ma'al l'shem chova, right? What is anything else affected by it? And what are the factors that I would chalek between different things? And what are the factors that go into that whole mix? So the more you say, the more you take the first perspective, which is a real emphasis is that lishma is pretty innocuous, lo lishma is pretty innocuous, just that, you know, lo lebayim l'shem chova. So obviously, when it comes to anything, you know, that accompanies the korban, we would think that would be fully intact. Is it possible that even if it's the most innocuous, that it still affects some of those other things? The answer is yes. To the extent that some of them, let's say, may depend on the component of kapara, or the shame chova of that korban, or the fact that, right, it's not the only korban connected with this initial, you know, hafrasha and hakdasha, and there's going to be another one, right? So lemaisa, anything that is connected to that. For example, the Gemara says Zeroa, in the case of what is it, El Nazir or Mitzora, you know, what kind of matir is it? You know, so those things, those elements, you're gonna have to bring another one. You're gonna need. It's not gonna be matir. Right? The El Nazir Shelo Lishma, which is La'ol Abayin L'Shem Chov, you're gonna have to bring another one. So when you have to bring another one, okay. So what about the Nesachim? That's one question. What about the, you know, the Zroa and the Lechem? So that the Gemara says, let me just quote it. One pay test of advance. He's this old Shaka Vatari. Asha Mitzar Shashakta Shalalishma. Ton Nesachim. Shimata Omerchein Paslaso. I'll have to discuss that too. What does that mean? What does it mean, Shimata Omerchein Paslaso? Right, the need creates the Hechsher. Maskefor, Benasya, Elmeata, Keves, Abba, Imha Omer, Sheshachto Shalom Lishma. Teheimen Chaso Kfula? Right? The Keves Abba Omer has a double Mincha. You know, its proportions in terms of Sronim and so on, special demon. So, is that still true if it's Shalol Lishma and you have to bring another one? There are going to be two of them. right? Shimia Tomachem Pasasa. Tomat Shal Shachar, Shachdu Shalolishma. A ton snake zirim bekoinacha. Shimia Tomachem Pasasa. Tomat Shalbein Rabbayim, Shachdu Shalolishma. A ton snake zirim, Shnei Koinin. Shia Tomachem Pasasa. The verse is in Achanam. El Rabbay, Echadiminayu Noka. Baba Mar Bishlomahana, Cholos, Ninu. Ilo Kazil Olus Kova, Karbon Olus Nadaba. Lahacha, you don't look beside the mill say. Right? Asham Nadava Mi'ika. Very important line. The others have the fallback that their olos and olos have this more expansive application, but there's no such thing as an Asham Nadava. This, of course, is a suggestive Gemara, implying that the possibility of Nadava, and of course that's one of the Limudim, right? The Neder Nadava connection. Possibility of Nadava is a critical component in Kashrus. Notwithstanding all of Bailum Shemcho. Tani Kavas Rav Yochanan, Asham Mitzora, Sheshachta Shalol Lishma, right? Arez Olo Lagabi Mizbeach, Vato Nesach, Nesachim, Mitzorach, Asham Achar La'atiro. The, I said, other Gemaras later on, the Gemara talks, so I said about the Zroa in the case of Ayahol Nazir, that's the Gemara in Memchas on the base. Again, the Gemara in Tzadi Aleph in Menachos, getting all in, I guess, now, speaks and mentions again that Kol HaZvachim Shenizbukul Shalom Lishman have to bring their Nesachim with them. And the Nesachim still apply. Tosfos here says, Tema, Alama Likra, where it's based on a Pasuk. Kim Darshin Bereish Mechiltin, Im Kim Oshon Adarta Asisa Yehi Neder, Lav Yehi Nedava. So you buy Nesachim Ken Nedava. Chi tema de legabi nesachim lava mukale kra al kachet tzarich luk mahachi shima tomarchein paslaso kedomar biochen leil referring to petas on base gabi hashem betzora the nearer the chedi nazba shvi lav kra the motza secha mehacha avanafka yika kra lachrinios. Moses here is again raising this in a indirect way. It's exactly seizing the issue, right? Moses is saying, if a nedava requires the sachim, so why do you need Gzeras HaKasa to tell you need the sachim? My answer is, lest you say that, you know, that's not included in the pasuk and in the Mishnah, right? Well, then imat tomarchein paslasa. Of course, you need to understand what imat tomarchein paslasa means. Number one, and number two. Let's say a nedava requires nesachim. So if this originally was a nedava, we'd understand that it would get nesachim. But as a, you know, ex chova turn nedava require nesachim? Right? There are two points here. Is the status of the original korban completely intact, despite the fact that we call it nedava? Again, it's interesting. Tosfos didn't say, well, it's the original korban. What do you want from it? Doesn't say it that way either. Tos says, oh, but it's a nedava. A nedava also requires an nesachim. Tos is willing to consider before they reject it, maybe not. Why maybe not? Because on two levels. Number one, in terms of the original karban, if the fact that Sol Shabbai L'Shem Chova may still be significant, may reflect that there's more than that going on here, right? There's been a change in status. Even the fact that it's no longer a chalos chova, maybe the same korban, but it's no longer chova, but it was hukdash as a chova. Is it now the equivalent as if your makdish this originally is a nedava? No, because it's still hyphenated to the chova. It's only a nedava because it's a failed chova. Maybe it's a different chalos nedava. Or we don't really mean nedava. Nedava is the limud. I'm taking two different things now, right? Nedava is the limud. What we really mean is it's a generic fallback. Right? So maybe a generic korban doesn't require a nesachim. That's different than a nedava of an asham, a nedava of a shlamin, let's say. Again, these are the questions. The Gemara on... is there another Gemara? Let's see if we find it here. The Gemara in Mem Ches on the base of Menachos The continuation of the Gemara about the Gemara that we were talking about before, about Shalokim Mitzvasan. So the Gemara says, the Shar Shalmi Nazit Shashachtan Shalokim Mitzvasan Ksheir Lalabayim Mishim Kol. That's the other man, Amar. Necholin Leom Belaila. I mean, you have the same. Shalmei Nazir have a special din. They're like Toda. They have Nacholin Yom Belaila instead of Shnei Yom Belaila. What happens if they're Lo Lishma? Do they still retain the status of Shalmei Nazir? These are really interesting and important questions, but they're dual questions, right? In all cases, they're questions about this middle status of all of Bailam Shem Chova. At the same time, they're questions about the particular role of these added halachos, right? Whether it's the nesachim, the zman, the lechem, you might be mechalik between them, right? What are they dependent on? They depend on the kapara, the sort of the shame carbon, dependent on the ritual haktasha, the hafrasha, right? So here we're being told that necholim liyom b'layla, that's retained. The ain tunim lo lechem lo zroa, a dialect. El Nazir doesn't get the lechem, that's what I was referring to before, doesn't get the zroah. Rashi says, how come? Because you have to bring another one, it's not the matir. So it might be have a shame El Nazir completely, right, to the extent that it still retains, unlike other shlamim, it doesn't become generic shlamim. It's not serving the, you're going to have to bring another El Nazir, right? But it still has a shame karban, El Nazir le'inyan itzma. But when it comes to lechem and zroah, no. How come? That's because of the hyphenation, because to some extent it turned into a nedava of this, because it turned into or more partially into the thing that it wanted to be? Or is that simply because, no, that's the minimum that you're going to say. It's all about the Shem Chov, you've got to bring another one. The din of zroah and lechem, that's part of the matir. It's not going to, lemaisa, it's not matir. You need to bring another one. So what I'm really saying is, it's complicated. You have to go through